So hypothetically speaking,
right?
I feel like I have a pretty good pain tolerance in my arm.
I do too, which is why I was practicing playing Bitey.
Which we will not be doing, but...
Listen, for future reference, because I saw Charlie, friend of the pod, was playing Bitey.
Right, really?
They had this fat indent in their arm.
The amount of people today that are going to be walking around with these crazy... The thing this show started.
Right.
Wild.
And I was... That's the moment that I went, was this episode written by a woman? And then, like, I didn't bother looking it up. And then at the end when Sarah Snook was like... I mean, I don't know if the episode was written by a woman. Yeah. But then she was like, yeah, that was Lucy's story. I was like, yes, of course it was.
Of course. It was directed by a woman. So...
Work.
Yeah. New couples tattoo ideas. Couples getting bite marks.
I've had enough of you.
I think it's romantic. There's nothing more romantic than Tom and Shiv.
Mm.
We'll get into it.
Giving taste of human flesh.
Yeah. Living Plus.
Living Plus.
I've watched this episode twice now.
I guess maybe I have watched it twice because I was rewinding so often.
Yeah.
Like, trying
it's to... dense. It's dense. I mean, it's not even dense. It's just like, wait, what?
It's also, like, the score is so different, at least I thought, than, like, any other Succession episode.
It's different.
Yeah. I was like, this does not feel like, in a good way, does not feel like an episode of Succession. Like, it was just, like, so fucking nut-nut.
They really switched it up.
Yeah, it was great. And then, seeing Waystar Studios, I was like, I can't believe this.
Okay, I picked up on it the second time. They're, like, fictional minions that they have, just called morons. So I would just love whoever had to like design that in the post studio, this fictional morons show.
I feel like Kimia would be really good at that job. Yeah. Seeing Kimia's posters during Dirtbag, I was screaming. It was so funny.
I don't even know if those were Kim. I think they were Regina's.
Regina.
Yeah.
Oh, can you cut that? That's terrible.
Well, they both do posters. So
okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah. They're both graphic design. But the one that was like, I got clean by getting dirty. I was like, that is genius.
So fucking funny.
It's like my favorite thing in the short, and it's not even something that I made.
Right.
It's someone else's joke. But anyway, morons. We have to get that out of the way. It starts off, it starts off in a weird vibe because it's just Logan on a green screen.
Thank God Brian Cox is getting another paycheck. He's going through the announcement of this product launch that is the central core of the episode, which is Living Plus. He's saying, I'm excited for you guys, our investors. It's going to increase. He didn't say double. He says, like, increase or whatever.
It's important.
And then he ends it. I'm sorry. The director cuts him off. I hope
the director's a woman.
Yeah,
which we should
say.
Note. It's very important that the director is a woman.
And she's like, can you try it again? And just seem excited when you say the word excited. Yeah. And then he goes on a rant to her and says, you're worse than my idiot fucking kids.
Right.
And then it ends with this look of like Brian Cox looking directly at the camera and his eyes are also green and like the green screen is green. I thought that was such like a powerful shot.
Yeah.
Because it's like... A green screen, you can project anything you want onto that. Yeah. And I don't know, kind of same with his eyes and his soul.
Ooh.
You can project anything you want. Like, you never know what he really means.
I had some things to say about a bunch of eye stuff this episode.
No, really?
Yeah, we'll get into it. But it's just, we'll talk about it later.
He had the gleam in his eye.
The gleam in his eye. Oh my God, there's that too. Yeah.
Period.
I just, yeah, I love his face looks like the face he has on the poster for the show, where he's, like, looking down, like, menacingly. And I love that they pause on that screen as, like, he's looking directly at Kendall. And it's just kind of them, like, looking at each other from the dead. It's such a great opening.
Nice to see you again, Dad.
Yeah, nice to see you again. Which, oh, God, I love the fact that they turn the tables on Logan this episode and kind of, like, make him into this like puppet that they can morph and make him say whatever they want him to say. Mm. And he's done that to them this entire show. And it's like, I don't know. It's just to go from like being
like
so
Tupac.
Right. to go from being so careful about his like legacy to just the switch of
having Greg edit you in a
video editor representation. This episode is huge. So accurate. Yeah, it's a great cold open that kind of sets the tone for the rest of the episode.
Yeah. And the central, again, core of the episode is they're going to do this product launch of this app that they deliberately don't explain the entire episode. From what I can gather, you know how Disney has those, I don't know if you know this about Disney, but they actually have like homes outside of the Disney resorts that you can buy, like literal single family houses. The one I was just looking at was $9 million that's on this. It's got a 4-car garage, 6 beds, 6 bath. And, you know, some of these Disney houses have, like, fucking Mickey Mouse wallpaper. Right, and in that way, like, has the IP of Disney.
Stuck as a Disney adult until you die.
Right. You've spent your entire life savings being a Disney adult, living kind of in a satellite park around, you know, Epcot or whatever. Yeah. And I assume Living Plus is sort of like this, which I appreciate that they're leaning into the Disney aspect of Waystar over the Fox News aspect, because it's like
their Roderick, whatever their Mickey Mouse equivalent is.
And, and so this is like, it's homes. Like, the whole point is that it is real estate. They do mention that several times with, like, it seems like it's like secure, like it's got Waystar or some, I don't know, private security company like making sure that it's secure, but also it's a theme park.
Right.
And also it's prison.
Yeah, yeah. Have we talked about the Villages in Florida? Do you know about the Villages?
Tell me about the Villages in Florida.
It's kind of exactly what they're describing here. It's like this big, it's like this massive retirement community. Okay. It's like that Squidville episode.
Okay.
Where like, it's just, they're living this like kind of perfect, but really depressing, like every house looks the same life. It's just golf courses and old people. And you're just like stuck in this, there's a great documentary about it called Some Kind of Heaven.
But are the people unhappy there?
Yes. The whole movie, the documentary gets into like how unhappy the people are.
That's sad.
And why they're the unhappy reasons that they are there. And it's just fascinating.
Are they unhappy because they're lonely, or are they unhappy because of the sameness?
They're lonely. They figured out that this community that they've spent so much of their life savings on living in is not what they wanted. Mm. It's not what it's built up to be.
Damn.
It's like, I just kept thinking about that because it's sort of the same thing. It's like this polished retirement community. Mm-hmm. Land cruises,
which
I think is the perfect way of describing it.
Right.
You're stuck there on land. And basically, Kendall is like pitching this.
They were going to launch this anyway.
Yeah.
At some sort of, like, two of their investors before, you know, making it a public announcement or whatever.
It's their iPhone, really.
Period. And famously, Waystar Royco is very good at tech. That's a joke.
Yeah. Greg has such a good line where he's like, we've had houses for a while. I don't know how this is like tech.
Yeah, because, this is something businessy I wanted to explain.
Please.
Kendall and Roman still want to sink the deal with Mattson. That's the thing going on in the background.
Right.
And Kendall is convinced that they can value the company higher.
Yep.
With this product launch.
Yeah.
And I've never really understood valuation, so I was looking it up, and this is what I have to offer you.
Okay.
Do you understand? First of all, do you understand company valuation?
I knew enough to follow this episode, but please get into it.
So I want to thank NBS Bullshit on YouTube for this explanation. But basically, like, let's say your YouTube channel, every like asset that you have, your computer, your microphones, whatever, costs $100.
Right.
If somebody says, I'm going to give you $101 for your YouTube channel, you would say no.
Yeah.
Why would you say no? Because you make money outside of like your assets for the YouTube channel.
Right.
Let's say you make $100 a year with your YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Maybe some YouTubers do. I don't know. theoretically, they would need to give you enough where if you put it in the bank, you will still make $100 a year even without having your business.
Interesting.
So if you get a, you know, you put it into a bank with a 10% ROA, ROI is what I meant to say. They need to give you $1,000 basically for that to be worth it. Because if you put $1,000 into the bank, you will make $100 every year if you have a 10% ROI. So they would give you probably $1,101. I'm not saying that's a great offer for a YouTube channel, but in these numbers that I've laid out. So the thing is, there are multiple different ways to value a company. There's different math you can use, different projections that you have of like how much money your company will make in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is in a way amorphous and a little fake, but Kendall is saying, if we get tech people to look at our company, with this app, we're going to be worth way more money than Mattson is paying for us.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're worth way more money than Mattson's going to pay for us, that'll scare him off because he won't want to pay even fucking more than he already
is.
Right. So I rewound that scene like 7 fucking times because I did not understand what was going on. But that's what Kendall's saying. He's saying like, we could actually be worth a lot more money with this app. And so Mattson will have to pay more.
And all of this, like figuring out the number stuff is where Pete comes in. Who I was just like confused on what exactly they were doing that whole scene. But it's basically what we were just describing is like looking at the different ways they could up the value, basically. Yeah,
they're saying, like, you know, there's always a conservative or a liberal projection of how much, for example, like, the Newport Theater is going to make. Mm-hmm. And Mark is so fucking conservative. He's like, say, for example, there's four shows a month. Mm-hmm. And Megan's always like, there's way more than four shows right. a month, you know? Like, we make a lot more money than just four shows a make.
Okay.
So there's different ways to, like, make projections. And so Kendall is saying, can you be way more liberal with how much money we're going to make? Mm-hmm. Like, this app is actually going to have a billion users.
Yeah.
What if that? Then how much money would we make? And Pete's right. just like, I guess we'd make more money, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, numbers are more than just numbers. And Kendall's whole approach here is just focusing on selling it.
Right.
For the sake of this pitch and to scare off Mattson.
Yeah.
Very like present day kind of thinker.
Yeah, and in the short term, right, if you do, there is value in hype. Mm-hmm. Like, you can make more money by hyping it up as if it's going right. to make more money, but that's, you know, it's kind of a fool's errand. It yeah. will crumble down. The House of Cards will crumble at some point.
Right. And I think that's, well, so that's the whole reason that during the speech, Mattson is like, I don't like this. Because I think he sees that the value is going to go up. He doesn't like it because it's good, mm-hmm. I'm assuming. And that's kind of why he, like, tweets and then deletes it. And
wait, I think he also does tweet because from a European standpoint, it is genuinely horrifying, the product that Kendall was pitching.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think it's a lot of things, but I do also think somewhere there is a kernel of truth that he does think this is horrifying.
Right. And Shiv kind of saves the day.
Right.
Of telling him. We jumped ahead all the way to the back, but there's like so much to talk about that I figured we'd just get into the meat.
Yeah, I mean, that's like the business.
That's the business, the yeah. episode. It starts off, they have a, it's just a great scene of like Shiv brings him to her jet instead of going to his jet.
Girl bossery.
Well, I like that scene because it's a really good summary of who Shiv is this season in that like she thinks she's kind of playing him.
Yeah.
But the whole time she's like, oh, fuck you, I'll never do that. And then she does it the rest of the episode.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I was thinking when he got off the plane. It's like, yeah. It's not really a big deal for him to get off the plane and go on right. her plane, but she thinks it's a big deal.
Exactly. And I love that in the next scene, she is on the other side of that where Kendall puts her phone on the other side of the table and makes her move.
Whoa.
I know. It's so good because it's just like she gets the same treatment she was doing just a scene earlier. Mm-hmm. And that's when Kendall is like, him and Roman are basically trying to tank this deal because they're like, so he's obviously. Unhinged. I know. It's so, I love that like even Tom is able to challenge it at the table.
Yeah.
He's like, well, why would they do that? And Roman, it just sounds like a little boy who's like coming up with excuses. And
right. They try and convince, you know, Tom and senior management basically that Mattson is unhinged, unable to execute this deal further. Right. And they could have said the legitimate reasons why Mattson would be a bad fit, i.e. he doesn't understand what our company is about.
Right.
He said this, this, and this to us about like, we're a, you know, bad brand, good parts, which is fundamentally misunderstanding like how powerful ATN is. They could have said any of that.
Yeah.
Instead, they said he's unhinged and like a drug user and he tweets badly.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jerry's like, we've already kind of taken that into account with his, like, we all know this already.
Yeah.
And it is where it is with that in mind. So.
Right.
And also, I was wondering, like, do you think things work out better for Kendall with this argument after the whole tweeting situation near the end? I mean,
yeah.
It kind of proved Kendall's point with the tweet.
Kind of, but then he deletes the tweet. So it's like, well, exactly. How unhinged is he? I don't know.
Yeah. Shiv is really mad about this whole thing.
Confronts Kendall and Roman.
Yes.
And...
Well, there's a shot. Sorry. There's please. A shot that I can't even take credit for this. Someone pointed out on Twitter, but it kind of mirrors the shot of Logan in the opening credits where it's like his back to the camera and he's like looking at the... And there's a shot of like Shiv with her back to the camera, like looking at them. And people are like, these are identical shots. And ooh. I know, I think it's, I mean, she is kind of, she has a good episode. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Shiv has a great episode, but yeah, interesting parallel.
And she was directly compared to Logan last episode.
Right, right, so exactly.
She's really living up to that.
Yeah. But they kind of, I mean, it just ends with this like half-assed hug that doesn't, it feels like not as genuine of a hug as we've gotten in the past.
Right.
I also thought that hug was interesting because I'm like, can they feel her pregnancy? Like,
that is enough. She is 20 weeks. That thing is the size of, like, at best a teaspoon. Enough.
Well, I was just like, who knows? It's a secret.
No, it's been 3 days.
You're right.
Since
it
she
has
was
been
3 days.
Called
about, like, the 20-week thing.
I forget about the timeline. Yeah.
Right. They right. cannot.
They cannot. They cannot. I just wanted, like, one close-up of Roman being like, Oh, what is that?
You know, they would just call her fat and then like move on. Like, that's what Roman would do. He would not assume that.
You're right. You're right. What were you going to say?
I was going to say just more offensive things Roman would say. It's like, why do that?
Why do that? So I like that because it kind of sets up this, the rivalry that just gets worse throughout the show. Because I feel like there's already a disconnect between Shiv and those two, mm-hmm. especially Kendall. And then Roman just happens to be kind of in the middle of it. And the rest of the episode, I guess we should just go character by character here, like Great. We usually do.
They're all having very obvious meltdowns. And yeah. usually it's less obvious, like when they're doing a bad business deal, it's like, well, I can maybe see how they thought this is a good idea. Nope. Yeah. Every single character is doing nothing but badly.
Yeah.
Shiv is back with Tom. I mean, like, to, you know, do a high level overview. Shiv getting back with Tom, indulging yeah. in romance and in that way spiraling. Roman firing people, spiraling by trying to, like, yeah. exercise his power in an impotent way.
Right.
Kendall is just, like, literally on cocaine and has no sleep and thinks that he's a mega to the moon, word yeah. salad, billionaire, smart boy.
Connor, nowhere to be seen the entire episode.
Literally. A ghost.
Let's start with Roman.
Great.
He, the first thing that happens, well, first of all, there's a little detail someone pointed out that, like, Abbott Elementary's set is in the background of his, like, golf cart scene.
Yeah.
But he goes to meet with Joy, she's like a studio executive with Waystar.
Yeah.
And she's basically like, we're concerned about favorable coverage of Mencken, and she's like, it doesn't look good with us.
Yeah. She's also been working on that sleepy robot movie that was terrible that we saw last episode.
I would hate to be Joy. It's a terrible situation.
Because it seems like, I think what is implied is part of the issues with Calipatron or whatever the fucking mm-hmm. movie is called, is that people were likely protesting the network that is like housing Calipatron.
Yeah.
And that is in part why they had to do all these like reshoots or whatever, mm-hmm. like perhaps an actor quit or I don't know, something.
Right.
So Joy's like, that's kind of what is causing these. Also, we can like sidebar this. This is going to be a systemic issue if ATN continues to be the way ATN is.
Right.
Roman tries to say, like, well, if I throw money at you, who cares? You can find artists anywhere that will work for money.
Yeah.
Which is, it's kind of true.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's, like, a, you know, the most inaccurate thing he said. It just feels
like that's the only thing he has. Like, he repeats, keep the hit machine pumping, like, three times in this conversation. It's like, that's all he came in here with. And I feel like the moment she starts to kind of question his credibility is he just gets super insecure and is like, well, I don't know what else to do. I'm just gonna fire you.
Yeah. He's got kind of like two tools in his toolbox from his dad, which is throw money at the problem or fire whoever's in your way.
Right. Which is ridiculous. But as people have been saying, it's like that's kind of a strength to Roman that he's able to just do these things impulsively.
Mm-hmm. He's not wishy-washy.
No. They're not great choices, but it's a strength that I certainly Kendall and Shiv don't have.
Right.
So there's that. And then immediately, like not too long after, Jerry is like, why the fuck did you do that? She starts to question him.
He also is not convinced that he's actually fired Joy. He just said that she is fired.
Yeah.
Much like Logan firing Jerry like seven times and Hugo and Carl and Frank. Roman has learned that that behavior is acceptable.
Uh-huh.
However, Joy, I assume a liberal, right?
Right. Based on that, yeah.
Right. It probably would take him at his word for it, has also not mm-hmm. been in the senior guard this whole time getting hired and fired every fucking week for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So she thinks she's actually fired, is not responding to phone calls, whatever. Jerry's like, Roman, you cannot just do that.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I don't think you respect me.
Yeah. And she's like, he's like, it's something dad would have done. And she's like, well, you're not your dad, which there's like a silent pause after that. Just kind of lingers. And he's like, yeah, I don't feel like you respect me. What if I could fire you?
And I hate then to see them drift apart.
I know. Someone was like, Jerry and Roman are more divorced than Tom and Shiv.
I know. It's sad.
Crazy.
It really hurts.
It hurts. But he fires with quotation marks Jerry. I really, when I was watching the first time, I was like, wow, he actually fired her. Because then he goes to Kendall and is like, so I did these two things. And Kendall's like, fuck it, fire Greg, fire me, you're on fire.
I honestly love that for Kendall. I know he's not well, but I love that moment.
I love it so much.
It betrays a deep mental instability. Right. However, I love to see my boys stick together.
Love to see my boy just weirdly confident, too confident about anything. And yeah, I don't know. He's just like, I guess he tries to hype up Roman.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, your mental sanity is in question. He's all just of delusional. The siblings.
Yeah.
They're all delusional. And the best you could do is kind of like be delusional together. I think that's Kendall's approach.
Yeah. I think he's just, Roman is in a very insecure place after all of this because he's like, I don't know if everyone's telling me that was the wrong thing to do, but I was told my whole life that that's what I should have done. And so when it comes time to, when Kendall's like setting up the house with the clouds and Shiv is the one that comes to him and is like, this is a really bad idea. You should stop this.
Yeah.
He tries. It's like he'll listen. If someone tells him something to do, he'll just do it. Yeah. It's kind of him this whole season. So he tries to stop it, backs out, and then it goes so well.
Yeah, I know. It's so, but that scene is so sad when like right after Kendall has just like indulged in Roman's delusions.
Right.
Roman then returns to Kendall and is like, you're delusional. And actually I'm not going to do this co-pilot thing with you.
Yeah.
And then that's where we leave off Roman in the episode, right? That's.
Well, there's, he's kind of storms out. And then he's in the car and he gets a text from Kendall.
Oh yeah.
Which is this edited video of Logan that they've been kind of like, it's been throughout the episode of him being like, I have to announce that Roman has a micro dick or something like that.
That's exactly what it is. And he will always be wrong.
And you'll always be wrong. And he just plays it over and over again. And it's like such a terrible, it's a really good scene. I love that scene. Even if it's like heartbreaking. I didn't realize it came from Kendall at first. I was like, where did he get this video? And then I was like, fucking Kendall sent it to him? Which both, I mean, it solidifies like Kendall as like taking the place of Logan in the family, basically like going full like bully on Roman, especially after a whole episode of Roman trying to like stand up for himself and like show that he has some power. It's like to be under someone again like this is just heartbreaking.
And it always has to do with sex in some way, like this micro thing. Like it's always sexed.
Right. And also in like the context of how easily triggered Roman gets over his father and like in this grieving process, like I feel like just the sound of his voice and him like insulting him like this weirdly brought some comfort to him.
Yeah.
And that's why he kept playing it over and over again. And I'm like, that's why he has the fetish that he has, is because that's the only way he was ever shown affection in his life was his dad being a dick to him. And I don't know.
Whoa.
I think it's like a crazy shot. It's a crazy scene.
I was just sitting here. I have nothing to add. I'm just sitting here enjoying your analysis.
I was just, well, because it's like, it's sad, but it's also like, I think he keeps playing it for a reason. Like he likes listening to it.
Also does enjoy like kind of punishing himself and feeling bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a real tragic episode for Roman.
Yeah.
L. You know. we should talk about Shiv.
Schedules her grief right schedules after confronting her, grief. Her brothers.
So funny.
Is giving woman.
I know the world is past this at this point. We don't talk about Tom and Greg anymore.
Okay.
But I think this show did a little bit of like a return to the past when like Tom and Greg walk into that room.
Yeah.
And kind of like, what were they going to do in that room?
Kiss.
Exactly. Thank you for saying it. Because,
you're welcome.
Yeah, Greg is kind of like, oh shit, and like runs out. And Tom is like, I thought this room was scheduled for, and then doesn't finish that sentence. And I'm just like, what was that about?
They're probably going to literally have disgusting brothers time where they sat there and like had some sort of like disgusting little beer in the middle of the workday, you know? Like a Shafley or like a Miller Lite.
A pocket beer, just enjoying it.
Warm pocket beer.
Yeah, yeah. After a long day of work. No, and then, Tom kind of, like, catches her in this vulnerable moment.
I literally, like, became two-dimensional because I was cringing so hard I, like, became the wall. I was like, no, don't do it. And then, like, she grabs his neck and he grabs the small of her back. And then they start...
Okay, so you didn't think it was... Well, here's the thing. I've talked to several people about this.
Okay.
A lot of people are on your side who are like, it was so uncomfortable this whole episode, Tom and Shiv.
I don't know about uncomfortable, because it's like, cringe. Clearly they find it hot, and usually I find that hot, but I was just like, I cannot see this. I love it and I hate it. It's both.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I love seeing exes, you know, sort of have this reconnection and tenderness and whatever, and they're fucked up and it's 8,000 other things, but I was like, Shiv, come on girl, get up. That
I know,
that was my main
that's
form of cringe.
The thing. Yeah,
Shiv, get
yeah.
up.
Shiv, get up. Yeah, she literally like gets backed into the wall, like,
yeah,
in a on a red wall. I don't know what there's. Like,
and what that's am like I the saying? Berlin Wall.
And that and... right, right. So then fast forward to they're at this like party with a bunch of people, and they're just flirting the entire time.
They play bitey. They play bitey. Everyone.
Right. Well, there's like some background stuff there's like TK, which I'm assuming. Who is TK?
Oh, they're each going over their exes. Right. And people, I don't think we've ever heard of TK until now.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
and it doesn't matter.
Is that a first marriage or a first relationship?
I think a first lengthy love. I don't think it's ever been implied that she's married more than once. Oh, yeah, because I believe that her mother said, like, this is the first of many weddings or some shitty thing at her wedding. Right,
okay.
TK must have been her first love. And then, like, I don't fucking, Amy or something was
Mary.
Tom's.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mary. It's giving.
Oh, she has such a great line. She's like, you didn't know dark meat until you tasted or messed with me or something like that. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, also just like when they flirt, it is just so bizarre. So
it's
like,
so bizarre.
In that way, and I don't cringe like the same way I cringe at cringe comedy. Mm-hmm. It was just, it was entirely like, girl, get up. Like, I feel so much for you that like, I can't watch you do this to yourself.
Right. I think she likes the fact that Tom is kind of standing up for himself, though.
Oh, yeah.
And that she, like, the fact that they can kind of talk about the betrayal in a way that's like, I like the fact that the way he says sorry is, I'm, like, sorry for, like, what I did to you, implying that, like, I don't know. He's, like, saying that to say that, like, I fucked you up. Mm. And I don't know. That felt more, instead of, like, putting it on himself, it's like, I don't know. I don't know how to talk about this. But the wording of that was so, like, insulting, weirdly, that, like, you got fucked up over this, and I'm sorry that happened to you.
It is weird to... It's, like, putting all of the responsibility on the person for being fucked up instead of saying, I'm sorry that I fucked up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's saying, look at how much power I have over you that I was able to inflict so much damage.
Right.
That is really what you're saying.
Yep.
When you say, I'm sorry, I fucked you up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And she's like, I forget what she responds with, but they kind of just flirt.
She's like, fuck me up, you barely scratch the surface. And then
exactly.
That's like,
yeah. And I like that they're talking like that and then literally bite into each other's skin. It's like, and Tom won. He bit harder, which is worth noting.
And then behind the scenes when Sarah was like, it didn't hurt. And then Matthew was like, that hurt so bad.
It's painful. Yeah.
I hated it.
That's just a great scene.
And then they have sex.
Obviously.
And then Tom gives just one of the best monologues in the show.
Yes.
Where she's, I don't even remember what prompted the monologue, but he says, honestly, like, I went with your dad because money, and I like money, and I like having money.
Yeah. Which is the most honest I think he's ever been in the show. It was, like, weird to hear him just being so upfront about it.
Curtained with, if I were to be honest right now.
Yeah.
If I were to talk honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's like, would you drop everything for, like, a 3-star talent? Like, would you do everything for love, Shiv, or something
would you
like
live
that?
In a trailer park to go on a date with someone?
And she was like, I would drop everything for you, Tom Wamsgans, or something. Like
and that was sarcastic, right?
I think so, because they immediately, like, laugh it off.
Right.
They kind of just, like... But it's so... That is one of the hardest scenes to read, in my opinion.
Very dense.
I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
But I'm like... Because they're not saying... They're both being honest and, like... hiding something beneath it all the entire time. But I think, like, for some reason, like, I walk away with it that they both understand what they want out of the marriage a bit better. Mm. And that she understands that Tom has always been in this a little bit for the money.
Yeah.
And that hasn't really been said out loud before.
Yeah.
And I think he understands that, like, Shiv is in this for the power a bit.
Ooh.
I don't know. I think they just recognize that they need each other in that. Moment.
And I think, I mean, the reason why it's written like this is because there is no one answer. Neither one of them knows what they actually want, because they want conflicting, like, within themselves, conflicting things.
Yeah.
Which is just, like, impossible to untangle in a relationship that's been going on for this long.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I also think they're the only people that can be, like, they can only be vulnerable in front of each other. Mm. Like, I like the fact that in that scene, God, it's such a good performance. Matthew, he's like, climbing over the bed on, like, all fours to, like, see the phone. He looks like a little boy. Just, like, so humiliating. He's like, is that the Swedish or the Striking Viking.
Stop. You pointed at me like I said Striking Viking at the same time as you, and I did not.
I was just like, Striking Viking. Because I laughed so hard when he said it the first time. And it's just like, there's that, like, he can only be this way in front of her. Mm. She got caught crying privately.
So humiliated to be caught crying.
Yeah, it's just like they had this shared vulnerability.
Oh my God, one time I was on tour with a children's touring theater company, and I was just, like, sitting on the ground. I can't remember what precipitated this. And then one of my tour mates was, like, sitting on the couch because we were at some Airbnb because it was a scam. And I started crying, and he was like, are you crying right now? And I'm like, yeah. And that was the whole conversation. Alex Collier, if you listen to this podcast, we're still friends.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been caught crying.
Damn.
Yeah.
Not caught in 4K yet.
Not yet. Yeah. Especially not on, nobody online just even knows that I cry. Yeah.
Ooh. I'm going to get real vulnerable on this podcast. I cry.
That happens.
And then where do we leave Shiv? Like, she fields a call from Mattson, then goes and convinces Roman that this is a bad idea. He backs out.
She kind of takes credit for him, like, taking the tweet down.
Yeah. In her mind, though, not in person. Right.
There's this shared jealousy between her and Roman when he, like, walks out and then they hold on her face and she's, like, visibly just, like, not thrilled about the whole situation post Kendall speech. And I just, it's crazy because I'm like, yeah, I just think there's an alliance coming there between Roman and Shiv against Kendall.
Ooh.
That I'm like, manslaughter, I don't know. I think it would be really, it would make a lot of sense.
They should kill him in a car.
If they kill Kendall.
Yeah.
Just that, like, Kendall has gone this whole show plotting against his dad, only to become his dad and then get taken down by his own family in the end. Ooh. I think would make a lot of sense. We're not doing the whole prediction
thing. Well, if it's anything like Wizards of Waverly Place.
I saw this tweet.
Then Shiv will win.
Right, right. She'll be on top. I think that's kind of... Oh, and then they have a thing in the car, too, between her and Tom, Shiv... Where it's very brief. It's after the Roman thing.
It's not in the car. It's she goes to the office, right? And then she fields a FaceTime from Lucas Mattson.
Well, there's
Tom
that.
Has his feet on the desk.
Oh my God, we forgot to talk. I was talking about something else, but there is that scene.
Feet.
Which is like such a, it's like a porn video. It's like.
I love it because the implication this whole time is that Shiv has some sort of kind of like quasi-sexual connection with Lucas Mattson.
Yeah.
But now that Tom is in the room watching her field this call, it's like sort of. Implies that they're being more open and honest with each other and that, like, they are more in cahoots than before. I don't... remind me of the car scene, though, that you're talking about.
Well, the car scene is just at the end when she's like, if we're going to do this, it's going to be, like, purely strategy. And he's like, well, who says I didn't think strategy is rather sexy or something like that?
Oh, that's right.
And it kind of just ends on a note that's like, well, they're going to get... They're back together.
And they're having an election party, right? That's what it is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Then Tom is like, I should host, right? And then right. They get interrupted by the Striking Viking. But I like this a lot because it's like, it's a classic Tom sitting in the room. Someone doesn't know he's in the room. And he's just like, I don't know, just him being on the call with Mattson, but Mattson not knowing this. It's like, Tom is always scheming in some way.
Oh, yeah.
So that's, I don't know. I really like this alliance a lot. Even if it's not like romantic entirely, it is sort of sexy, but. It's wrong.
Fucking a coworker.
And it's, yeah, it's crazy. fucking a coworker. Talking about your husband. and then there's Kendall.
I mean, what can you say other than to the moon word salad? Girl failure.
There's an interview with Jeremy Strong about this episode that I haven't actually finished. It's a really lengthy interview. But I learned a lot of things. That one... He said the minute he read the script, he started talking to the costume designer, and it was his idea to get that jacket himself.
Genius.
He designed it himself.
Hell yes.
I'm like, he is running this show. Like, he is doing everything.
It's because Jeremy Strong is a theater man, and Kendall, like, what has emerged? One of Kendall's character traits is that he's so into theater.
He's an artist. He's an artist.
Like, if only he got to just, like, be part of Willa's play and just find his true calling. Like, none of Succession would have happened. I'm crying.
You actually were
crying. I literally am crying, but it's because like I'm holding back a sneeze and like it's pushing tears out of my eyes.
Do you need Zyrtec? I know the allergies are kind of bad.
Yeah, I'm just crying over Kendall.
I'm so sorry about the allergies. It's
fine. Continue.
Okay. I learned, and I actually knew this about season 3 too. He like listens to a lot of Kanye West as research for this character,
I'm sure.
Which makes all the sense in the world. It's right. the exact perfect artist for him to listen to.
He exudes like a white boy who's really into hip hop swag.
Right. Coming out to that Public Enemy song, yeah. The Jay-Z thing. Like, he's just super into. And like this whole episode, I just kept thinking about Kanye because he's just doing a very Kanye thing of like, I'm going to build a house and there's going to be clouds and then it all comes crashing down. Yeah. I like that he said Kendall and Rome unplugged for their like acoustic set.
He is so irritating and I love him.
He's so funny.
Yeah.
This episode when he's talking to Pete and he gets in like this stance and he's like, the numbers, Pete. It's like, he's definitely using. I think we should just get that out of the way.
1,000% there
he's
is
on
no.
on drugs again.
Like, quote John Mulaney, I was bopping around stage going this and that. Wonder why.
I wonder why. Yeah. It's, they never show it, but it's kind of like, you don't even need to show it.
It's painfully obvious.
It's painfully obvious. But in a weird turn of events, it's a big win for Kendall this episode.
It's a slay.
You can't deny it.
Because he's on stage, he's explaining this product, and it's not going badly, you know? Like, he explains the product pretty thoroughly, cheesily. Everyone in the senior management, plus Shiv and Roman, is cringing because they all think it's, like, so amateur and tasteless.
Yeah.
However, I mean, people kind of like that shit.
I'm like, you guys are selling to a guy who is just like this, who is, like, this young tech cringe ball.
Yeah.
And like, that's who Kendall is right now.
Cringe is in.
It's in. It works.
And so even before this tweet, like, the investors are kind of liking it, like positive feedback online.
Yeah.
Lucas tweets like comparing Living Plus to like a Holocaust prison camp. And a reporter asked Kendall a question without Kendall being briefed on it. He says, what do you think of Lucas Mattson's tweet comparing this to the Holocaust? And Kendall gives a pretty solid answer.
Mm-hmm.
I would not use this language. Maybe I don't even remember what else Kendall said. Like, maybe he doesn't understand the product.
He's European. He's very European. Which I was like, that's so funny.
Yes, Kendall, do a jingoism.
Yes.
And like, handles it pretty well. And then that's the only question he fields. And he goes off stage. And then Tom comes on to do his presentation.
Yep.
You're an ATN citizen.
You're an ATN citizen. I'm an ATN citizen.
Period.
I love the fact that, like, backstage, Greg is like, I'm going to be cheering you on the whole time. And then the minute Kendall gets off, they just run off together.
Greg's little plotline this episode was amazing.
Asshole now.
No, it was maybe 6 lines of plot for Greg, and I loved it. Because he's standing there talking to Kendall and Roman about, like, this tech valuation thing. Then he's in the editor's room, and he's like, listen, man, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble if this doesn't say double the earnings. Please say that. And then, like, the old guard is watching the video with Greg in the room. Logan, like, you know, editedly says double the earnings. And then they're like, man, like, the editors did a really good job.
Such a good line. The editing is really good.
Nobody cares. So good. I love, like, that 6 lines of plot for Greg. So genius.
The pitch bot. It looks dope. It's so cringy. It's so
exiting
cringy.
Now. Anyways, that's so Kendall kind of winds up on top because he's not a terribly uncharismatic and not terribly unintelligent public speaker.
Right.
Gets the job done. And through, like, Shiv's action of getting Mattson to delete the tweet, through, I guess, his own delusional theatricality. Yeah.
I think, honestly, a little bit under pressure with that, like, threatening pep talk with Carl before they get on, which I felt like we should talk about a little.
Please.
As a Carl diehard over
Please.
Here.
Please, come on, Carlhead.
I mean, there's not much to say about it, but he kind of breaks where he's like really fed up with it and realizes
he breaks Carl character.
Yeah, he's like, well, you listen here. And he brings up that he's like, you're going to fire the CFO like days after you got moved up, and Kendall just doesn't really say anything. He just like, okay, and then goes on and like kills it and like praises Carl in the speech. And I don't know, I feel like that threat beforehand, because he was like, if you humiliate me, I'll squeal. I think Kendall.
And the humiliation that Carl is talking about is if you give these fake numbers you have clearly made up with Pete. Like, I'm the CFO. I'm the one who should approve and analyze these numbers. If you make my work look stupid, like, I'm gonna squeal. Yeah. And, brilliant.
Would you say, actually, never mind.
Give Carl an Emmy.
Exactly. Supporting actor.
Would I say what?
Well, I was going to get into winner and loser talk, but I'll save that.
Yeah, then Kendall gets baptized.
He gets baptized. It's like, okay, so two things. Well, first of all, it's an obvious parallel to laying down in the pool, face down in the water, to now looking up. Which I thought was beautiful. Yeah. Apparently they shot this in October and it was freezing. And this is coming from Lorraine Scafaria, who directed it. She was like, nobody wanted to do the scene. Like, it almost got cut, but she was pushing really hard for it. Because obviously it's you need a shot like this.
Yeah.
And apparently it was just not an enjoyable shot to get.
Literally women.
Women. She also, and this is the second thing I was going to say, she also directed the birthday episode.
Yes.
Which I'm like, these two episodes are really good together, because it's basically I don't know, I just kept getting flashbacks when he had the jacket on, pre-speech, the whole house thing. It's in the birthday episode, things just kept getting worse and he backed out, but it seems like this episode he just doubles down.
Yeah.
And goes on without, he realizes he doesn't need his family as much. When Roman backs out, he's well, I'm gonna do it solo. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the birthday episode, without them, he was nothing. Yeah. And I think that's on character growth.
What was the eyes thing you were gonna say?
Eyes thing, he brought up to Roman, he was just put your dad goggles on when he was talking about firing.
Okay.
And I think, well, there's that with the fact that Kendall's been wearing these sunglasses all season that have KLR on the insides, that are kind of just reminding him that he is his dad. And there wasn't some big point I was trying to make with the eyes, but I just think that he's been looking, the glasses are in the dressing room and they kind of make a point of showing those off. And I don't know. I just thought he's looking through his father's eyes, and they use the sunglasses to signify that a lot.
The death of his dad has fundamentally changed his perspective.
Yes.
Perspective,
yeah.
Whoa. All right,
winner, loser. So, winner, I said Carl.
Now that's enough.
Okay. So, Carl, I think it's a pretty big win. I mean, he is in a decent spot by the end of this, I would say.
But Carl was in a fine... I mean, I guess he was on the kill list. Okay.
He was on the kill list... I don't know. I feel like he's in a better spot than Kendall, is what I'll say. I don't know. Because Kendall, well, maybe not.
I have to give my boy Kendall a win at some point, because he loses almost every other episode. And so I'm giving this one to my boy Kendall. He was abandoned by both members of his family. Because he fucked over Shiv. Let's start there.
Right.
Using again,
That's a win.
His theater project doesn't go as planned, and yet he can turn it all around and use the power of his charisma and uniqueness, nerve, and talent to scrape out a win for himself.
Yeah.
And I gotta put Roman as the loser.
Oh, Roman's definitely the loser.
Yeah.
It's so undeniable.
Hurts.
I mean...
I would also put in a solid argument for Shiv being up there on the list.
Shiv is in a pretty good spot, I'm not gonna lie. It could be Shiv.
She still is secretly pregnant, though, with a man, a person.
She's not getting credit for any of this shit either. Yeah. I just felt bad for her.
Well, the whole thing, she's moving in secret. Pregnancy, secret tweet deleting.
And I think, aligning with Mattson, when Kendall this episode really made a point that, he can be... I mean, his plan kind of worked, and, the value's going to go up. Mm. And he shows himself as, the hip CEO that nobody thought he could be.
The CE bro.
The CE bro, exactly.
It's all coming together.
I'm just, her aligning with Mattson, it's starting to feel like everyone against Kendall in this.
Yeah.
Which is the only reason I would say he's not the total winner, is, he loses a lot of people, it feels like, in this episode.
That's true.
But, and I'm like, Carl... of the old guard is in the best spot, I would say. Because he's not Jerry.
unfired, who is, clear skin,
right,
golden parachute,
still the CFO,
strap in,
definitely not getting fired. I guess he is left to deal with, like, the financial shit that, like, Kendall set him up
because he still did say double the earnings or mm-hmm. something ridiculous, yeah. which is still probably, it's way different right. than increase.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. So maybe Carl is kind of, I would say, yeah, you're right, it's Kendall.
Yeah.
You're right, it's Kendall.
Kendall interacted with a body of water in a positive way. That's a win right. for my boy.
That's a huge win. He was talking about it in the interview, how he's like, it was really exciting because it did, at least to Jeremy Strong, he said it felt like the first win that his mm-hmm. characters had all the entire show.
I mean, yeah.
Because, like, you could argue the little thing at the end of season two, but that came with, like, crazy consequences. And it's like, this felt like just a good, clean, use his dad to say things that he wouldn't say
yeah.
win.
It's a win because he finally got to do theater.
He did!
he got to write dialogue.
On one hell of a production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would see Kendra Roy's one-man show.
Oh, like that. Yeah, I would so fast.
It'd be so cringe.
Anyway, I think that's all I have to say.
Me too.
It was a great episode.
Yeah.
It was a really good episode.
Fabulous.
And I cannot wait to see the next one. Anything to say?
I mean, no. I'm recording a Patreon exclusive episode of my other podcast today. That'll be fun.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Busted Business.
Become
Bureau.
A patron for Busted Business. I was getting email notifications for it this morning.
Are you a patron of mine?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I posted like 3 times because I couldn't figure out how to do a private RSS feed. And so I finally figured it out.
That's funny. Well, listen to that. Watch my What I Watched This Month video that I just put out today.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, you don't have to watch.
I do watch your videos.
Well, that's the episode. Thanks for listening. And as always... Suck off.